Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. And I'm delighted to welcome a friend. It's almost 30 years since the current Minister for Foreign Affairs and Trade, I believe, was first on this program. And I invited him on the program on the strength of a very popular politician in Ireland, his father before him. But let me welcome now the young lad that I interviewed almost 30 years ago. Charlie, you're very welcome.
Adrian, thank you very much indeed. That's the nicest thing I heard in 2016 to have such an introduction. But I'm particularly pleased, indeed from a personal point of view, as well as in my capacity as Minister for Foreign Affairs, to start the year 2016 in this great city of New York. We've had a very difficult time in Ireland in recent weeks with bad weather and rain and floods. I was delighted, therefore, to see the sun shining in New York on my arrival on the 6th of January. And this is the first political engagement of my year, as I did have the opportunity over Christmas of taking some time out with my family in my home county of Laois. But it's important, therefore, that we acknowledge this great year of 2016, when we reflect on and commemorate the momentous and indeed turbulent events in Dublin in Easter 1916, and this is a further installment of what has been in Ireland our commemorating the decade of centenaries as we look back at the events of 100 years ago between 1912 and 1922. And I was delighted here this morning to officially launch the very rich and diverse and varied program of events for 2016 across the United States of America. Something for everybody, something for Irish America to celebrate as we look back at the last 100 years, but also look forward to the next decades.
I'm privileged to be on the committee led by Dr. Maureen Murphy in the planning of what is now well over 70. We can't give you an exact number because every week we're learning about another centenary commemoration. One of the first things we had to tackle here was, is this a commemoration? Is it a celebration? How do we make sure that this does not become kind of a political football at a time when nobody know better than yourself than, you know, the peace process in Northern Ireland has indeed been rather shaky. Is this a good time to mention the word celebration at all?
Well, I want to acknowledge the great work, Adrian, of Dr. Maureen Murphy, of yourself, of the Irish community here in New York, and I pay particular tribute to Barbara Jones.
She's terrific, yeah.
Our Consul General, Anna McGillicuddy, everybody who was involved in this program. And you will readily see from the program that what we're doing in our commemoration is celebrating Ireland across a range of pursuits, our music, our heritage, our culture, our writing. We had apologies this morning from Saoirse Ronan, who was busily engaged across the United States accepting awards for her recent film Brooklyn. We had Colin McCann here this morning.
Right.
So we are celebrating what it is to be Irish and commemorating the events of 1916. But it's far more than a political engagement. It's an engagement of being Irish in New York, being Irish in America, being part of those 35 million people claiming and proud of their Irish ancestry. And indeed, I would appeal beyond those 35 million to people that perhaps are unaware of the very important contribution that Irish people have made towards the United States of America, and inviting people to engage with their Irish brothers and sisters here in the United States, and indeed in the city of New York.
You know, it would be, we're getting used to it, but the tremendous interest in Ireland, you know, is reflected in an area indeed which you covered, the trade, the investment in Ireland, the connection on both sides of the Atlantic, which if you add that to the record number of tourists heading for Ireland, has to have a lot to do with the extraordinary rebound of the economy in Ireland.
We've had a very, very difficult time in Ireland since we were almost bankrupt in 2007, 2008, became victims like many other countries of the international financial crisis. Over the last 5 years, the Irish people have worked very hard to turn our fortunes around. And of course, the job is not yet complete. We have succeeded in ensuring that we have the fastest growing economy in Europe. We have reduced our unemployment rates from a very high of 15.2% in 2012 down to just over 9% now. However, that figure is still very high, and I want to acknowledge the important contribution that America, and indeed Irish America, has made in that regard, not only through a direct investment, acknowledging all the American companies who have headquarters and major offices and plants throughout Ireland, but also in the area, we said, of people-to-people contact in terms of our tourism numbers, in terms of ensuring that I think we can say without a shadow of doubt that in 2016, and as we commemorate 1916, that relations between Ireland and America are probably on their soundest footing. And long may that continue for the next 100 years and beyond, as we share what we have in common and engage further to work closely together, notwithstanding the wide expanse of the Atlantic Ocean that lies between us.
Minister Charlie Flanagan, your portfolio indeed is without a doubt the most difficult in the sense that Ireland relies a lot on their relationship with countries. We'd like to think that you give your full-time attention to the United States, but actually Ireland has a tremendous amount of recognition. Of course, in the Celtic Tiger days, everything was good, and then we had the flop. To regain the world confidence in Ireland, it is definitely a very short time span to turn that around, even to those who would be very reluctant to say, well, watch out, you know, this happened before. How would you define that period?
Well, I've been Minister for Foreign Affairs for a period of just less than 18 months. I've been to the United States of America 5 times over that period of time. I still say that it's not enough. I believe the relationship between Ireland and the United States of America is most special. Like to avail of the opportunity of coming to New York, coming to the other cities across the United States, and meeting with the Irish diaspora. I believe that relationship is so important. I also note that Taoiseach Enda Kenny is a very frequent visitor to New York and other cities, and being a Mayo man, that is not in any way surprising or unexpected. He loves coming here, and again, over his tenure of government, he did have many competing interests, and I know that of all his priorities, he regards the relationship between Irish America and Ireland as being of extreme importance. I believe it's important, Adrian, that we acknowledge the contribution of Jimmy Dinahan, a Kerry man, the first ever minister with specific and special responsibility for diaspora affairs. So I think between the three of us and indeed other ministers, we have ensured that the channels remain firmly open and that we work in a spirit of positivity to ensure that we can bring the best out of the relations between the Irish government and Irish America. We have had a very, very difficult economic time. We have now secured our economic recovery, and the next stage for the next number of years is to ensure that the benefits of that recovery are felt fully right across the island of Ireland, and acknowledging in recent times the many young Irish people who have emigrated, many here to New York and beyond. I would hope that there would be an opportunity for many of these to return home if they so wish and contribute to Irish society and Irish economy. So the job is never complete. The job of government is never complete. We face a general election in Ireland in the spring of this year, where the people, under the secrecy of the ballot, will have an opportunity to cast judgment on this particular government and elect a new one.
Far be it from me now to jinx anything, so we'll skip over that only very slightly in saying, though, that it would be hard to compete with the success of the last 5 years and with the government. And I think one of the notable things about the government is that you've never tried to take the credit without pointing out the huge and tremendous sacrifice that practically everybody in Ireland had to undergo in order for us to get this far.
Irish people have worked very hard. Irish people have shown great resilience in the heat of what was a very, very challenging and difficult economic climate. It had a social cost, as I mentioned, in terms of people emigrating to other countries, many here to the city of New York, many of whom, like previous generations before them, are making a very positive a contribution to life here in New York, not simply in terms of economic terms, but also in terms of social activity. And I would hope that should they choose to return home to their native land, that the Irish government will have facilitated opportunity in terms of economic and social climate to effect and encourage such return, if that is the choice of young Irish people. But undoubtedly, over the last number of years, Irish people, young and old, Irish people at work, and those less fortunate, have made a huge contribution to restoring not only our economic fortunes, but also our international reputation, which was on the floor in 2007-2008. Yeah.
Something that we can neither blame nor give credit to is something we have very much in common in the natural disaster of flooding. And as you well know, we in New York are doing okay, but as you head west across the country, there has been disastrous, again, flooding and changing climate. Ireland is having its share, and definitely it's not just punitive to Ireland. Western Europe is experiencing something that is highly not only unusual, but it's also scary for many people. And this is something that becomes responsibility of the government as to how you can help. How is that going?
Unlike the United States of America, we've been fortunate insofar as we haven't had a loss of life as a result of a natural disaster. But certainly the flooding of recent weeks has presented a great challenge. I represent the Leash Offaly constituency, which on the one hand has the Shannon, and on the other has two of the great sister rivers, the Barrow and the Nore. And what we're what we've seen by way of government response is a whole of government approach involving the Department of the Taoiseach, involving the Department of the Environment, social protection to ensure that those people who have lost many personal belongings and indeed for some people unfortunately their homes, that they will have shelter, have some opportunity. From an agricultural point of view, much of our agricultural farmland in the Midlands and across the west of Ireland remains underwater. And you're quite right. We need to acknowledge the shift in climate patterns. But as we speak, the Irish government is readily engaged in ensuring that on the one hand we can provide a flood protection by way of ensuring that our rivers don't continue to have their banks exceeded, as we've seen in recent times, and also this impacts on our planning laws insofar as where we build our houses, or where we facilitate the building of housing accommodation. I think this
and
is
drainage and all of the other.
Well, of course, the draining of the Shannon, Adrian, is something that is perhaps older than the Irish state itself. And what we need to do is ensure that we react to current challenges in a way that ensures that this type of occurrence does not take place again in the future, and that we're fully prepared for all and every eventuality.
Finally, I want to ask you, Minister, about the situation in Northern Ireland, and as Minister indeed for Foreign Affairs and Trade, that has been a rocky road. If you rely on media, it would appear that, you know, it was a Humpty Dumpty, you know, any minute now this is going to collapse. The what's the reality of the situation and the desire to make sure that it does not crumble?
Well, I think it's important in 2016 that when we reflect on the past 100 years, that we acknowledge where we are now in terms of the politics of Northern Ireland, the politics of the island of Ireland, and of course the politics in the relationship between the United Kingdom and Ireland. And I believe it's fair to say that matters are very much on a constructive footing. I recently returned to Dublin following 10 weeks of intensive talks in Belfast, where we successfully concluded the Fresh Start Agreement, another agreement in a line of agreement stretching back to the Anglo-Irish Agreement of 1985, and perhaps more recently the historic Good Friday Agreement of 1998. And I believe it's important now that all parties move towards intensive implementation of all agreements. The object of the exercise being that people can live and work together in harmony across the island of Ireland in a way that perhaps hasn't been easy in the past. For example, I find it regrettable that there are in excess of 100 peace walls still in existence across urban areas of Northern Ireland and Belfast in particular. My wish is that these would come down and that there would be a sufficient confidence among communities to allow for the taking down of the peace walls, and that people can have the trust and confidence of being in a position to live and work in harmony with each other. that requires an element of trust, and that's why we've been working closely with all parties across Northern Ireland. And I want to acknowledge the contribution First Minister Peter Robinson, who's now retiring, but also of Martin McGuinness and the Sinn Féin party, and all the other parties around the table who have contributed towards a climate of stability and peace in Northern Ireland.
Normally, Minister, one would assume that if agreements are, the long-term agreements should be left as is. I think that perhaps with Northern Ireland, each new agreement, and God knows we're not looking for more, but each new agreement brings the process much closer to being ideal. They're not all negative.
It's always a work in progress, and it's business that will not be complete until there is a climate of 100% trust and confidence. I think we can look across a range of issues, be it in education, in culture, in art, in sport, as well as politics, where communities are coming together. And I think there are still outstanding aspects of agreements that have already been reached, and I speak in particular of the historic Good Friday Agreement, momentous as it was in terms of composition. I believe it's important that for the new year, now for 2016, that we see a resolve on the part of everybody to implement all the outstanding aspects of previous agreements. And I look forward to being in Belfast as early as next week, round the table with Secretary of State Theresa Villiers, the leaders of all the political parties, as we reflect on the recent agreement having been reached and how best we're going to implement that at the earliest possible opportunity.
Minister for Foreign Affairs and Trade, and somebody that I've known, as I say, for 30 years, and your father before that. 43 years your father served.
Indeed, 45, actually.
45. Yeah. Okay, now, are you trying to beat that record? Because we just want to know. It's kind of curious.
Yeah.
Because if you do that, you're pretty close to your centenary of Flanagan, yourself.
Yeah. I take it step by step. Politics is a continuous engagement. We'll have an election in Ireland before the great St. Patrick's Day parade marches up Fifth Avenue. I don't underestimate the challenge. I'm fortunate in County Laois to have some very loyal and committed supporters, and I will be working hard with them to receive endorsement from the people of Laois, and I'm not looking beyond that for early 2016.
Listen, if that's your only worry, well then let me tell you, you're in very good shape. I'm delighted again to welcome you here, and also to launch something which, indeed, despite our own reservations when we're trying to put a committee together here, yes, it's a commemoration. It's a celebration. It's a 100-year anniversary of from whence we come, how far we've come, the present, but also the future. And I know that you and our Taoiseach from Mayo are going to be very much a part of that tremendous marriage of Ireland and the US.
And I want to acknowledge the great contribution of Adrian Flannelly in that regard, not only in terms of your broadcast work, but also in terms of your great contribution and your great leadership for the Irish community here in New York and beyond.
Friends, you listen to Irish Radio Network, USA.